Good morning. Nice to hear such an exciting buzz because although we're not all waiting for presents under the tree, it's just nice to see all of you here this morning. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Aurora Weeb to come up and share a piano piece with us. Good morning and welcome. How come Gary gets a good morning back and I don't? Thank you. Would you kindly open your bulletins to the call to worship? I will lead in reading the light print, and if you would join in the dark print, please. Come, let us worship in faith the God who is here and longs for our worship. Redeeming God, work in our hearts that our worship would be filled with your redeeming love. Show us your love to us, O God. When Mary was sent away, she found support in your love. When we feel isolated by the world, we find security in your love. The world does not see us as God does. They do not value us as the God does. The world cannot love us like God does. They cannot comfort us. When others abandon us, God makes a home with us. And if you would allow me to indulge, I'd also like to do a German opening. Wenn hell die Sterne schimmern durch kalte Winternacht und tausend Kerzen flimmern von Liebe angefacht, wenn Wohltun aller Orten der Armut Träne stillt und an des Elends Pforten Erbarmen liebreich quillt, wenn froh die Glocken schallen, dann naht dem Glück geweiht die schönste Zeit von allen, die heilige Weihnachtszeit. O komm mit deinem Segen, komm auch in unser Herz und unser Haus, breit auch auf unseren Wegen den Glanz der Freude aus, senk auch in unsere Herzen der Liebe warmen Schein. And since I thought today was all about love, that does have the word love in it quite often. Would you join now, and if you can, you can stand. We're going to sing Hope is a Candle, verses 1-3, please.
Hope is a candle lit by the prophets, never consumed, though it burns through the years, dim in the delight, the power and privilege. When they are gone, hope will shine on. Peace is a candle to show us the pathway, threatened by gusts from a rage or greed. Friend, feel no envy for those who in shadows, violence and foes, they're dead and uncaused. Love is a candle whose light makes a circle, where every face is the face of a friend. Widen the circle by sharing and giving God's holy dare, love
Thank you. Our first scripture reading is also in your bulletins if you'd like to follow along. It is Luke 2:1-7. About that time, Emperor Augustus gave orders for the names of all the people to be listed in record books. These first records were made with Quirinius, was governor of Syria. Everyone had to go to their own hometown to be listed. So Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and go to Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was from David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph and traveled with him to Bethlehem. She was soon going to have a baby, and while they were there, She gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on a bed of hay because there was no room for them in the inn. We'll have our drama, and after the drama, we'll ask the children to go downstairs for their rehearsal.
I didn't believe your mother when she said you might be coming.
I didn't believe my girlfriend when she said I should.
Well, I'm glad you came, Mike.
Look, Dad, I'm sorry.
No, save your apologies. You're an adult now, and for too long we've been treating you like a child. You are right to be angry.
Maybe, but I overreacted.
That may be the case, but I'm not really surprised by that from a child of mine. I've done my share of overreacting through the years. In fact, that's probably what helped us get into this mess in the first place.
Still, I'm sorry for the way things went last Christmas.
I appreciate you saying that, Mike.
So, I guess Angelica went into the house already?
Oh, don't you worry about her. From what I hear, she and your mother are getting along famously.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was worried about.
Well, while we're out here, could you put the doll back?
Of course.
I'm used to having a very loud voice, but I started coughing yesterday like something I haven't experienced after bragging. Oh, I haven't been sick in 8 years. Don't worry about me. I don't need the flu shot or anything. So welcome again this morning, and welcome to any guests that are here. Is there anyone who would like to introduce somebody? I know there's a guest from Saskatchewan here somewhere. Yes. Welcome and thank you. It's with the Voth family. I overheard them when I was in the other room. I've got big ears. And in terms of announcements, there... Irene is up. Thank you. I didn't see behind that he was there. Prayer is an amazing, miraculous thing, isn't it? And we'll certainly keep you in our prayers. So for announcements, as you can see, there's an awful lot on the bulletin. I'd like you to take time to read that. Of course, not during the service, but after. And Just very quickly, if you just look at number 7, there is going to be a potluck and adult Sunday school. We begin January 11th. And also, if you look at number 10, the NKMC Annual General Meeting, please put that on your calendar so that we don't forget that. And there's lots more that we can do while we're sharing. But at this moment, if anybody else has any announcements, please come up.
Hello. I was just going to expand on the potluck for the Zinc Group. It's number 7. Although we don't live in North Kildonan, come take the trek down to Earl Grey. It's great. It will be after church, though, so you don't have to, you know, come to church. And then, so it's not at 12, you know, give or take, 12:30, I don't know, as long as it takes to get there. That was very long, but thank you.
I thought when she said expand that she might want to invite some of us older folks, but it's okay. Apparently, I'm more than a senior these days. Ooh, that hurts. Sorry for all the rest of you. I just never thought that I would get that age. Just when did that happen? But it did. Also, in terms of looking at any other announcements, if anything, then we'll have some sharing time. And I'd like to start with, of course, everyone that you see under our church family. And Herbert Knell is no longer in the hospital. He is at home now. Oh, he's there. How wonderful. Nice to see you, Mr. Knells. And please keep everyone else particularly there in your prayers and all of our folks in our personal care homes. And under number 1, our thoughts and prayers go out to George and Erica Friesen, Curtis Friesen, and Janet and Matt Bergman, and the extended family and friends on the death of George's father, Henry Friesen, age 87, on December 14th. Funeral service took place December the 18th at Douglas. Condolences also go out to Eric, Janet, Rhea and Jalen Peters, Walter and Helen Fast, Betty and Vic Lowen, Lenora and Abe Weeb, and their extended family and friends on the passing of father, grandfather, and cousin Henry Peters, age 82, on December 15th, and the funeral service was held here December 19th. When you look at age 82, somehow today that still seems very young, but I believe his answer to go home to heaven was his prayer was answered. Under number 3, we do have a little notice about Cody, so it's wonderful to see you here and that we will continue to pray that you will be in his healing hands to become completely healed and gain your strength back. Number 4, a thank you from Jacob and Susanna Giesbrecht. And under number 5, Deanna and Harry Neufeld are thanking for all the cards and prayers and phone calls that they received on the passing Deanna's mother. And it's always good to see them if they're here this morning. Yes, they are. To see you here again too, Harry. And if there is anything else that anyone else would like to share, there is a mic. Please feel free. That's like directing traffic over here.
It's on. I just want to share that I'm a Nana again, and Dale's a grandpa, of course, and Summer's a big sister to a sister. Yesterday afternoon, 4:30, her name is, now I'm all excited, Alice Ann, and 8 pounds, 6 ounces, and mom and baby are doing wonderful. So we're very excited. 2 weeks of extra waiting, but it was worth it.
Is there anyone else? Okay. Then if you would please join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, this is a season of peace, hope, love, and joy. And yet, there are many places in the world who do not live in peace, where hope seems dim, hearts hardened to love, and joy is not a part of their life. But that also exists in our hearts right here, where we struggle with the concept of hope and love at times. Be with all of us who need the hope that you brought us in the birth of your Son, to those who are depressed and lonely, who face their first Christmas without loved ones who have gone home to their Heavenly Father, Put love into their heart and healing peace that only you can bring. If you are struggling with mental illness and poor health, or feel this could be your last Christmas, may Jesus hold you in his arms and comfort you and your loved ones. Be with our church members in personal care homes or those who are ill at home. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to help us share your love with family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and those we might be estranged from. For in everyone there sleeps a sense of life lived according to love. Bless our service today, and as we prepare for the Christmas celebration, help us find time to celebrate, contemplate, and fill our hearts with forgiveness and love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you open your German hymnals, the little black book, to number 50, Es ist ein Ross entsprungen. And I looked at the English words, and yes, they're beautiful, but somehow I guess this is more the familiar words to many of us. If you would like to stand, please feel free.
Was the surgeon poor?
Gary's sermon today is Changed by Love. As many of you know, or maybe don't know, I'm a marriage commissioner. That means I get to marry people outside of a church, and I've actually done some inside church. And yes, it definitely does change people. Sometimes not for the good, but love is definitely something that all of us have in our hearts. The reading today, Psalm 89, 1 to 4. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations.
Just thinking as I was sitting here and watching the people coming and going and singing the songs, and some of them I couldn't sing, but I could listen. It just feels warm. It's wonderful. We talk about what goes on in our life, and this is a family. I was talking about that this morning with the people who are going to be joining our church in January, and we were talking about what roots us here. And it's a sense that we matter. We're at home. This is family. And the things that go on in our life make a difference. And we're there to hold each other's hand and cry together. And once in a while, we have to have a little under talk with one another. It's my rendition of the Ungareid. We'll make it through. And even if you look at the past, we mentioned a number of funerals. We've had, what, 4 funerals in our church in the last about as many weeks. And we've wept together. We've struggled together, and we have prayed like crazy for some of the situations, like for you, Cody. And it's been good. And as I stand here, I see many of you with different things going on in your life. It's good for us to be together. Let's pray before we take a look at the concept of love. Thank you, God, for the gift of each other. Thank you for your Son, to be sure. Thank you for this season where we sit and think about what you have done for us. But thank you also for giving us one another to encourage to walk together as brothers and sisters. Bless us now as we contemplate the amazing gift of love that you have brought. Amen. During Advent, we've been talking about, the theme has been waiting for Christmas. And we've been talking about waiting in the sense of actually sitting back and allowing Christmas to come and pay attention to it, so that like a child, we expect something to happen this year. It's not just like we're talking about 2,000 years ago, how the angels came and the star and all that kind of cool stuff, but how Christmas impacts our life, how God comes to bring these gifts to us. We've talked about hope and peace and joy, and today we want to talk a little bit about love. Love is a difficult thing to define. Maybe it's difficult to define because we use it in so very many different ways. So if I say I love peanut butter and I am hungry and I walk along and there's peanut butter, you'd expect that I would eat the peanut butter. So loving peanut butter means I'm going to eat it. If I love my car, you're not expecting to see me out in the parking lot chewing on the bumper. It means something different. It means that the car is likely reliable, is not too ugly, it gets reasonable gas mileage, and it's dependable. Love, typically we use love to discuss our relationship with each other. So I love my child, my girlfriend, my wife. Well, I personally don't have a girlfriend at this time, but you know what I mean. Combine that with wife. And if we love our child, it's an unconditional kind of thing, especially with a small baby like we saw coming up here to light the candle. When there's a small baby, our love for that child is that we do whatever the child needs to grow and to be healthy. But it's more than that. We hold our children and we dream for them. They're 2 months old and we've already dreaming about how they're going to be happy and they're going to you know, all the things they're going to do. We just want them to be successful, and we are dreaming about what their life is going to be. We love them. With a girlfriend or boyfriend, it's interesting. We get together and we're in love. And we're dreaming about all these things that are going to come. You know, is this the one, Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright? And, you know, are we going to have children? And I imagine we're going to live in a house like this. And, you know, in love. When we get married, love hopefully roots a little more deeply. Love has to do with respect and understanding and caring and empathy and all those other kind of words. When we marry somebody and love them, we should enrich their life and invite them to be more of a person because they're married to us than if they hadn't been. Is that a good definition? Does that resonate with you? So that if I say I am in love, that means I am in being enriched by this relationship and somebody else is enriching me. And you watch people go through married life, and it's not always, you know, every time they see each other, they don't giggle, and they're not always holding hands, but they're still in love. Nothing for me more touching than seeing people who are in wheelchairs holding hands. If you want to see real love, go down to Bethania. I watch there as partners visit their spouse day after day after day, and you say, well, this is so hard. And they look at you like you're from somewhere else and they say, that's my spouse. They love them. That's why they do this. So love has lots of different faces. We could spend an awful lot of time discussing that. But if you've seen the movie Love Actually, it kind of plays with all those themes. If you haven't seen it, you know, it's got some real bad parts in it, so watch it. But it plays with the theme of what is love, and it puts in front of us some very real questions that has to do with dedication and permanence, and what is love beyond just kind of the flash of feeling and all that kind of stuff. Amazing stuff. C.S. Lewis wrote a book, well, it's a long time ago now, called The Four Loves. And in there, he takes a look at four different Greek words that define different types of love. The first one he addresses, I believe, is familial love. You know, the blood is thicker than water thing. Families stick together, and we care about each other, and you go through potholes, and you always know you're there. The next one is friendship, phileo in the Greek. And that's a love that we connect with other people, and there's something special that happens. Some of you, I know, have had friendships since you were just little people in school. Or when you were younger, and those friendships, you have gone through all sorts of things together, difficult situations, exciting situations. When you see these people, there's a special connection. It's interesting for me to watch in this congregation because there's a lot of connections that go way back, and to watch as you interact with each other. And there's something that goes on beyond the surface, and it's really cool to watch that. Eros, or erotic love, is a third kind of love that he talks about. And that's a love that is largely physical, but it's more than that. It ties into the others. And then the final kind, in the Greek, it's called agape. It's often translated as charity. It's kind of God's caring love, self-giving kind of love. And again, that one merits about 3.5 sermons all by itself. But you know what it's all about. You're smart people. You've heard about this before. So here's the question for you. This love thing seems to be a bit of a no-brainer, right? It makes you better than you were. It supports you. It encourages you. It's there for you. Everybody wins. So where's all the love? I mean, here for sure, but where's all the love? Why is it that in our society we struggle to love each other? We can go through the list. The food I love is, without question, bad for me. At least that's what my kids tell me all the time. Quit eating white bread with jam, they said. There's that song from the Sound of Music. You know, they go through the alphabet of music and bread and jam. Oh, yeah, you have to be there, I guess. Anyhow, that's going to be my funeral song. The foods we love are bad for us. The things we love go out of style. You buy a phone right now, and 3 months from now, there's a better Android out there that'll surpass this one, and you say, why do I get this silly phone? And in terms of people, we take a look at children. And now this one, we say, the love for children, that one's a given, right? Did you watch the news this last week? As a person is in Ontario, I believe. And this mother, they think, has stabbed 7 of her children to death. And one niece. I mean, from 14 down, you look at that, just kind of makes you cringe. You get, how can this be? And yet, as you read through, if you keep your eye on the newspaper, or even listen, I mean, there are parents who run down their children and destroy their self-esteem, who are abusive, who don't encourage them. It goes on. We don't want to fill that one in. But what I'm saying is, even there, that's not a given. Boyfriend and girlfriend, by definition, that's temporary, right? Not everybody marries the first person they dated. I did. It wasn't a matter of being lazy. I just found the exact right one right away. But for most people, it's a trial period, right? I'm so deeply in love with you, and next week they're in love with somebody else even as deeply, and it's just a wild ride. Even marriages, and you know how that goes. There's bumps and potholes, and we live with that, and that's a reality of our world. What I want to do today is not explain away all the struggles that we have, but I'd like to help open up for you again, the gift of love that God comes to bring at Christmas time. Today, we're not telling you what you're supposed to do. Today, we'd like to just tell you what God has done for you. God loves us, which is what Christmas is all about, which is what God is all about. 1 John chapter 4, God is love. Begins with that. So if we look at the Old Testament, there's a lot of discussion about God loving people. Our first read, the Old Testament looks like a whole lot of violence and God saying to people, be nice or I'm going to get you. But as we read it a little more carefully, we see a lot more in there. The word most often used, I've got to try this in English here, to describe God is a Hebrew word, chesed, which means loving kindness. We think of it as judgment or justice or violence or anger or something. It's loving kindness. And we see that in many ways. There's an interesting story in Hosea chapters 1 to 3. God comes to the prophet and he says, Hosea, I want you to get married. And Hosea goes, yes. And then he says, I want you to marry the prostitute over there. And Hosea goes, oh, man. So the prostitute's name is Gomer. And which may be why she landed up in that profession. But so he goes and marries her and treats her like a wife. And then one day she runs off to ply her trade again. And he finds her in a slave market. And he buys her back. Now, you got to put yourself into the story for it to make sense. He buys her back, brings her home, and treats her like his spouse again. The story is crazy. Who would do that? And God says, me. I would do that. And that's what I do for you. You keep turning away from me, and I keep loving you. And even when you do crazy things that I tell you not to, I will love you. Or we have the story or the picture in Ezekiel chapter 16. God says, I found you like a child thrown out in a field, still in your afterbirth. That's what people did when they didn't want the children. And I took you home, and I raised you, and I loved you. And then you turn into a horrible, rotten teenager. Not the nice kind we have, but a really, really bad one. And God says, and I'm still going to love you through this all. It's amazing, the story. One of the problems we see in the Old Testament wasn't that people didn't have love from God, is they didn't know how to respond. Jeremiah responds to this in chapter 31, verse 33. He said, one day, our response is going to be written on our hearts. Not just up here, and when we say, okay, God is good to me, I'll do what God says. What is the list again? It's written on our hearts, and we respond to God's love out of our own love. Here comes Christmas. And so Jesus comes along not to tell us about God's love, but as God's love. God, First John, God is love. That's Jesus. Jesus came down, package of love in the manger. Well, I got to thinking, how does that affect our lives? How do we see that? And there's so many ways. Let me mention a few of them. We see God's incredible love shown through Jesus in the way that we were created. God created us and then God created us and placed within us a little bit of himself. The image of God, the spark of God, the way the Greeks put it. And then he set us down and said, now I can truly love you because you possess the capacity to receive the love and to love me back. And we see that in Jesus. There's this fabulous book called God's Trombones, written by James Weldon Johnson. You may have read it. There's a poem in there called Creation. And part of the poem, and this is a bit of a loose translation, but he says, God bending down like a mammy reaching over her child, knelt down in the dust and formed the clay into his own image and breathed into that the breath of life, and it became a living soul. Amen, amen. This is a really beautiful poem. And you get a sense in that about how creation wasn't this cold thing. God is sitting there saying, I'm bored this afternoon. What'll I do? I'll make people. There they are. But rather, God creating us as an extension of himself. We were created in love. We carry within us the very essence of God. It's amazing when you think, and Jesus came down to show us that and teach that to us. We also see in Jesus God's incredible love in the fact that he came. Philippians 2, I'm sorry to quote this so often, but it's such an amazing passage. Starting at verse 6, Paul says, Jesus was God. And he set that aside to come down and be with us, so that he could show us, help us understand God's love. Now, I know this isn't quite the same, but I got to thinking about that, and I thought, what do we make? Like, what, houses and clothes and cinnamon buns and whatever. So, how would you like to become one of the cinnamon buns you make? The difference is there, I'm aware of that. But the point being, God did not have to come down. God did not have to care for us, and he chose to. Set it aside. When I was a kid, we used to have a lot of missionaries going out. And I don't know why they always went to remote places, but they did. And they would leave behind the luxuries of life, like electricity and flush toilets and all sorts of cool things like that, refrigerators. And they'd go live off in the bush and tell people about Jesus. And we were always very grateful. But there was a sense of sacrifice that went with that, leaving the family behind. And they'd go somewhere where they could only come back every 3 or 6 years. Well, this a million times more. God set heaven aside. We're not going to ever know really what that's about until we land up in heaven. We go, whoa, this is incredible. And he left this for us. An act of love, to be sure. We see God's incredible love in Jesus in the way that he lived and taught us. I love the gospel stories. As Jesus interacts with people, they were overwhelmed by the way he treated them. Woman at the well, Zacchaeus, whoever. Jesus treated them in a way they hadn't been treated before. And they said, wow, why are you treating me like this? And he said, that's who you are. That's who you were created to be. You remember the story of the woman who pours perfume on Jesus' feet and then dries it with her hair? And at first glance, it looks like, oh, that one's got some problems. But what is that? That's an incredible response. Jesus has made her feel love in a way she's never felt it before. All of a sudden, she's important. She's valuable. She was worth somebody's time. And she's trying to respond in the most caring and loving way that she can. And Jesus does the same with us. reaches us into our lives, wherever we are, whatever's gone on, and he says, I love you. And he treats us with forgiveness and understanding and caring and hope and all those things. And we give up on ourselves pretty quick, and we get down and give up on ourselves pretty quick. And God comes along and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. No. You are special. And I have an incredible, a perfect plan for you. And it starts now. Not, oh man, you blew it again. So we're on plan 17. I guess we're going to have to try and salvage something out of this mess. Never. God's perfect plan always starts for us exactly where we are. There is no plan B. We also see that in Jesus' teachings. Take the Sermon on the Mount, for instance, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We take a look at that and we say, and Jesus say, this is how you love. You know your enemy? Yeah, love him. What? Yeah, really. Things are different. You know the person who makes you do something? Go the second mile. Turn the other cheek. And we read this stuff and we say, how can this be? Nah, that can't be. You can't love your enemies. You can smile at them once in a while, but there's a time when you got to take them out, right? And Jesus says, no, I'm bringing a new understanding of love here. And so we read the teachings of Jesus overwhelmed because love begins to mean something different. We see God's overwhelming love in Jesus' death. I was listening. A song came to my mind as I was preparing this, and I listened to it on YouTube, a couple of versions. Do you know the song, the chorus goes, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. You know the song I'm talking about? If you don't, look it up this afternoon. And I challenge you to listen to that without a tear coming down. It is just amazing. What Jesus did in dying for us on the cross, we often think of the suffering he went through, and that was terrible. Lots of people have suffered. What Jesus went through was, there's a unity within the Godhead. A little theology for you here this morning. And when Jesus comes down and assumed our sin, there was a separation that happened between him and the Father. It never happened before. The love that went on within God was broken. And that's the pain when Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where's the love that we have always experienced together? There's a movie called The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. I highly recommend you never watch it. It's a bunch of gratuitous violence. But there's a scene in there which is really quite amazing. And it shows Jesus on the cross, and then it pans up and sees it from the vantage point of God. And you're looking down on the cross, and all of a sudden you see this teardrop fall. What a powerful moment. I'd never thought about it quite like that before. Not only was Jesus separated from the Father was also separated. And as an act of love beyond what we can imagine, Jesus, the Father, went through this for us. No, you're going to pay for this lady later, bucko. None of that. It's just, how can I help you get what I'm trying to do here? How can you understand the love that I've created you with, that I've designed you for, that's still there for you? And we have this. It's just, I don't know. It's overwhelming. I heard a Good Friday sermon one time, which talks about how what Jesus did on Good Friday was he met us at the depth of our brokenness. He comes down to the worst point of our life. And when we think we've messed it all up or we're at the short end of the stick, we find Jesus sitting beside us in our pain. There he is. The story just absolutely blows me away. We see God's incredible love in Jesus on the cross. We find God's love as Jesus sends us the gift when he leaves, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So many things happen with this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, talks about how when we have the Holy Spirit, there's an affirmation within us that we're children of God. And just bubbles out of us, Abba Father. It's a very intimate term for God. It means daddy, essentially. And that happens within us when we receive the Spirit of God. Something inside says, oh, and we begin to experience, not just here, but wherever our emotions lie, we begin to experience the love of God. We are children of God. And he changes us too, so that he is there to encourage us and to empower us to not only receive God's love, but to live it. All of a sudden, there's Jesus bringing us God's love, and all of a sudden we become, remember that old song, Channels Only, Blessed Master? We become the channels of that, and we see ourselves beginning to live with the love that God showed us in Jesus. We say, where did this come from? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. We are changed, and we become something. The love of God that started with creation touches our being, and we become something different. And finally, we see God's incredible love in his promise of what will be. God says, I have way too much love for you to be tied up in one lifetime. It goes beyond that. In the funerals that we've done in the last weeks, we've talked about that. You know, we say, oh, they've gone to be with Jesus. But slow down and think about it. That's not a, well, I guess you can't live here, you got to be somewhere kind of thing. But that's the plan. God says, I want you to begin to understand what love is about. And finally, when you're getting ready, we're going to bring you home and you're going to experience the full deal. It's going to be amazing. We mentioned Revelation 7 last week. There they are, all these Mennonites dancing around the throne of God. We'll let a few of the other ones in there too, but overwhelmed by the love of God, the love of God that came to us in Bethlehem. That's the story. That's the gift that is all about Christmas, that God has come for us to understand love. I'd like to read again the verses that Lainey read for us a few minutes ago from Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known throughout all generations. And I should just say, it's not like, okay, I will praise God. It just happens. Carrie and I are going to be talking about that next Sunday as we talk about how when we have truly experienced the hope and peace and joy and love of God, it just comes out. It just does. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You have said, I will make a covenant with my chosen one, a sworn to David my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm throughout all generations. God has come in Jesus to be love among us, to help us to experience love, to learn who we are, part of God's creation, carrying God's image, so that we then can begin to respond by reflecting this love back to God and to one another. Merry Christmas. May you experience the incredible love of God this Christmas as you look at the gifts that God has given you. Amen.
If you would open your brown hymnals to number 133 to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. I have to say there was something very important that Gary said today. Pastor Gary said, we're a family and there's such warmth in this church. And every time my son in New Zealand literally is starting to beg me to move to New Zealand to be with him and my little grandson, there are three things I tell him. I like my life here. I love my family and my friends, and I love the church community that I have here. I am blessed to have that because the love and support I've received in this church, I couldn't imagine duplicating it anywhere else. So as much as I love him, I'll spend time with him, but this is where I feel at home.
Little town of Bethlehem, how stay. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
I'd like to stand for the benediction and the final song. And now, O special and chosen people of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you hope, peace, joy, and love. Amen.
And in closing, number 1517 in your German hymn books, Süße die Glocken nie klingen.
Süße die Glocken nie klingen. Glocken mit Heiligen.